Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sharon W. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, March 9th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page XVIII. Let's forward to the second edition, the second paragraph. Beginning, our society then entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent period, ending on the next page, unify our fellowship will pass off the scene. And we are reading one paragraph only. Today's readers are Mary P. on the 12 steps, Lisa L. for the 12 traditions, and we have our readers as Kara L., Barbara W., and Penny L. C. Our newcomer greeter, Kelly R., and announcements will be Robin P. The share ID for Tuesday, March 8th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,650. That is 18650. And this morning's share ID, March 9th, 7 a.m. meeting is 18,657. That is 18657. And the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Mary P. from Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Mary. I will now ask Lisa L. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Lisa L. from Ohio. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion, as we need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. On page XVIII, the foreword to the second edition, second paragraph, our society then entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent period, ending with Unify Our Fellowship and Pass Off the Scene on the next page, and we will be reading one paragraph only. I will ask Kara L. to begin reading now, please. Thank you, Kara.
Good morning. Thank you, Sharon. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our society then entered a fearsome and exciting adolescent period. The test that it faced was this. Could these large number of erstwhile erratic alcoholics successfully meet and work together? Would there be quarrels over membership, leadership, and money? Would there be strivings for power and prestige? Would there be schisms which would split AA apart? Soon, AA was beset by these very problems on every side and in every group. But out of this frightening and at first disrupting experience, the conviction grew that AAs had to hang together or die separately. We had to unify our fellowship or pass off the scene. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L. from California, recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm so happy to be in the second edition. I'm the forward to the second edition. It is one of my favorites because I think it gives such a great history of AA, early AA. And it's something that I need. That history gives me richness to our program. You know, and this is written like 16 years after the book first came out, about 20 years after Bob and Bill got together. And, you know, AA works, right? This program of this design for living works. And it was starting to work everywhere. And, you know, these were alcoholics, right? If I look at like who I was active in disease, you know, after I recovered, I still do have a lot of those character defects that are present, right? And, you know, I work the program. I do step 10s to kind of get through that. But this is the early times. Like, this is kind of like the Wild West of the program, and it's growing. There's groups all over, and they're making decisions. And I think about, like, okay, AA made it through. This was exciting. All these people were exciting and all these different opinions and all these, and how do, you know, when I sit in a group conscience, do I take that deep breath and say, okay, you know, our first tradition is about unity. Okay, God, help me to be of service in this moment. You know, relieve me of my ego so that I can best serve this group. Because without you, every one of you, I don't stay well. Without working, you know, having fellowship, without being of service, without doing outreach calls, without connecting, I don't get to stay well. And today, you know, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, which is a miracle. Today I have food neutrality. It is a miracle. Today I can approach life knowing that there's a higher power guiding me. And I get those miracles from working this program. So yes, I'm going to go to the boring business meetings. And I'm going to trust that my higher power is going to guide me to help best serve the group. And yes, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be of service in my groups. And yes, I can constantly turn to my higher power and say, how can I best serve you and serve this group in this moment? You know, because I don't want to lose this. And I'm looking forward to hearing from everyone else. Thank you. I will pass.
Thank you so much, Kara. I will now take a list of those who would like to share. And I would ask that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you'd go ahead and give me your name and where you're calling from, I'll start a list here. Let's go. And don't forget to
Wendy
turn
W,
you.
Southern California.
Wendy R.
Sherry Z.
Annette M. from Toronto.
Wendy M.
Jen R. Okay. Bear with me for a second. I had someone, the first name was something W from South, I believe, Carolina.
It was Danielle W from Southern California.
Okay. Okay. Awesome, Danielle. And then I had Wendy R. And then I have Sherry Z. And then I have Annette M calling from Toronto. And then I have Wendy M and Sherry R. Did I miss anyone?
Kristen R.
Okay. Okay, Kristen.
Deb E.
Let's start with that. Was that Gabby E?
No, Deb E.
Deb E. Awesome. Okay, and so I'm going to start. We'll start with Danielle W. N. from Southern California. And when it's your turn, if you just say where you're calling from, that'd be awesome. Go ahead, Danielle. Star one to unmute, Danielle.
Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. Okay. Hi, it's Danielle W., recovered in Southern California. You know, it's interesting. I have this paragraph highlighted, and yet I don't think it spoke to me the way it has this morning. One of the things, you know, this book is so extraordinary. I mean, it's the hand of God that has, you know, worked through these men. But what I'm noticing here is they really understood the human condition. You know, they looked at things realistically, and they understood that when we come to program, you know, as we say, you know, I'm not on a winning streak when I finally make it into the rooms. And so you have a lot of people who are really sick, and they were able to anticipate what that might look like. You know, the fact that people are human and we're going to fight over membership and over leadership and power. And it's just, you know, it's part of our own character defects that play out. And how do you hold that together? How do you take people who are struggling in their personal lives and bring them together in a way that there's a sense of unity? And I love that they saw it. They saw it. They understood it. They knew it was coming. And yet, through the construct of AA and the way that these meetings work, we can be so very different and still rely on the fact that these groups, if we follow the traditions and we work the steps, will hold together. And there's something incredibly comforting about that. There's a sense of reliability in me and a trust for this program that I know that I can show up and be a part of a program. And as I've worked my program, I realize that only works when I also am of service, that I'm reliable, that I am willing to serve. I'm willing to be a member and contribute in the way that I can. It would have been very easy back in the day for all of these sort of warring factions to cause this program to fall apart. And instead, we were able to find a way forward despite our differences, despite our character defects, and we get to rely on a program that is life-changing for so many people. And I am so happy to be here this morning, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Danielle. Next up, we have Wendy R. Star 1 to unmute. Is there a Wendy R ready to share? Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's move on to Sherry Z. Star 1 to unmute, Sherry. Maybe Wendy will come back on the line.
Great. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in Southern California. Thank you for your service. Thank you for the reader. I was just thinking about how I spent years in program sharing, and it was a download of what wasn't working. And here I have the opportunity to share about what I learned. So, exciting adolescence. I don't think adolescence is at all exciting. It's horrible, and I'm raising teenagers now. But I do think that there was an excitement about growing into adulthood, and I think that is exciting. But what I really struck me this morning was they had all these fears about what could happen. Would they work together? Would there be quarrels? And then they say, soon AA was beset by everything. Like all their fears were realized. And then, but this frightening and first disruptive experience, the conviction grew that they had to hang together or die separately. What I can't get over is how much I live in fear, and then things happen and I'm okay, because if I'm working this program and I'm aligned with God, God will take care of it. And that doesn't mean that it'll all turn out great. It just means that the value of hanging together will surpass dying separately. And some days at the end of the day, or even at the beginning of the day, when I start off with fear and I have to do a fear inventory before I've even gotten going, I literally say to myself, if all that happens today is that I stay close to God and live in recovery, that's good enough. And it's so fascinating to me because adolescence is really about facing fears of what's unknown. And it's not the guarantee that the fears won't be realized. It's that the fears may be realized, but we will be okay, and we will grow into adulthood either way. And so I just have to share, like, I cannot believe how some of my fears have been realized, and that with this program with God, it is what it is. And God is watching over me. God is watching over all of us. And I'm coming into adulthood because of this program. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your share, Sherry. Next, I have Annette M. from Toronto. Go ahead and star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, it's Annette M. from Toronto, grateful, recovered, compulsive eater. The word, you know, obviously that's been repeated is the word about adolescence and how adolescence, you know, is a stage of development. And we have a beginner's mind, essentially, because we're in this state of, thank God we're together, and we don't know this, you know, how to connect, how to work together, but we know we need to stick together. And I always think, you know, having a beginner's mind and having this community is so invaluable, because it just always allows me to step up and step out of myself, which is my ego. And my ego always wants me to, even in recovery, I can see how I resist contributing, resist sharing. And I have to remember that, you know, I was brought to this fellowship to offer my experience, strength, and hope, and that each voice has merit, and my voice has merit, and to keep understanding that no one is in charge, it's the group, and to know that we this fellowship works when we all work it together, and we can't, you know, I can't survive on my own. Although I've really tried, but it just doesn't work. And, well, it works, but not well. So, you know, I'm so grateful to always come back, you know, to have this humbling program. And it just brings me back to a sense of reverence and what my purpose is in this life. So with that, I pass, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Annette M. from Toronto. Next up, we've got Wendy M. And please tell us where you're calling from, Wendy.
Yeah, good morning. It's Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you for your service. So what comes to mind when I read this is that when I'm in a meeting, when I'm with fellows, not now, of course, but in the past, all I think of is this is an opportunity to get some attention. This is an opportunity to get something from you guys. And, you know, I was in fight all the time when I came in, much like an adolescent, although I'm 59 years old and I can find myself fighting still. The miracle is that we hang together. The miracle is, I hope you can hear me, is that I don't say, how is this about me, as much. And I don't say, what can I get, as much, right? And when we do come together, right, when we are unified, the illusion that we're separate is an illusion. We're completely unified. There's no separateness. And when I know that, I'm connected to my higher power. And when I think there's separateness between us, that's when ego is involved. That's when the self has taken over, and the self is saying, what can I get? But when I'm in what can I get, there's no hanging together in my own life, right? There's no miracle happening in my own life. It's just one big Wendy, right? And I heard recently, fire Wendy and higher God. And that's really what's happening here is, you know, there is the miracle of this paragraph is that there aren't schisms, there aren't splits. Sure, we're human, you know, our egos come up, our self-centeredness absolutely comes up. But the fact that we're sitting in this room, sort of, all together is the miracle. And the fact that when I walk into a room, a Zoom room or a phone room, my first thought, even today I'll be in a room, is what does my loving higher power wish for me in terms of the well-being of others? And when I do that, I get freedom. When I do that, I get peace. I get serenity. And when I'm in self, it's super uncomfortable. It's what I call itchy and scratchy. But thank God it gets itchy and scratchy when I'm in self, because that's God knocking on my door saying, hi, you're in self. We need to fire you. We need to hire me. And it always, God makes it so. It always feels better when I'm in unity, when I'm in lack of, when I'm not in self, when I'm in you, when I'm in us. And that usness is, you know, it didn't come to me naturally. I'm an addict. And as an addict, all I thought about in my adolescence of this group was, are you guys paying attention to me? Am I getting
gentle
something?
Reminder.
Thank you. And for today, the miracle is that that's not me, and I get peace, serenity, and freedom to be with all of you. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Next, we have Sherry R. Go ahead and star one to unmute. Are you there, Sherry? Star one to unmute. Okay, let's move on to Kristen R. And if Sherry comes, we can take her after in the next lineup. Go ahead, Kristen. You can star one to unmute. It's your turn.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Kristen R. I live in Virginia, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. So the word that jumps out at me, or the theme that jumps out at me this morning, is unity, because I can't get through this program alone. I've tried. I've been in the program for 8 years, and through those 8 years, I've tried to work the program without a sponsor. I've tried to work the program without sponsees. I've tried to work the program just by reading the big book alone, and occasionally listening in on a meeting. Tried a lot of things to stay in solitude, but I recognize now that's just my disease. My disease wants me isolated and alone. My disease wants me in the food, so that there's more than a good likelihood I'll become depressed again. My disease wants me to fail. I mean, that's the only way of looking at it. And I have to recognize that I am powerless over food, that there is a power greater than me that's going to restore me to sanity. And I have to turn my will and my life over to that power. And part of that power is being part of this group. It's sharing on meetings. It's having a sponsor. It's having a sponsee after I finish the 12 steps. It's working as part of the group and trying to be of service. That's what true recovery is all about. And when I think about it, you know, my initial thought can be, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be part of a group. I've got too much going on. But the minute I start making outreach calls, the minute I start trying to help somebody else, I feel better. It's amazing how this works. I feel differently. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that unity and service is the watchword for this group. We have to be of service or we fail in this program. So with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing, Kristen. Next, we have Deb E. And following Deb E., I will take a new lineup. Go ahead, Deb. Star one to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And sorry, I lost track of what spot I was in. What really resonated with me today was the, you know, stay together or be alone, which I think of as like live together or die alone. And for me, my addiction was all about disconnection from my own feelings, disconnection from my own body, disconnection from the people around me, disconnection from any kind of higher power. And recovery is all about connection. It's about connecting with my higher power, connecting with my feelings, connecting with, you know, my body from my brain down, and connecting with the fellows in this program, and then also just the people in my life. I spent a year, about 25 years ago, the most disconnected I've ever been. And I feel like that was, I was at the height of my disease. And I can see how I knowingly, you know, and willfully disconnected from everyone. I convinced myself that I was alone, and I didn't realize that I made myself, I put myself in that situation. I made it so that I would be alone. I pushed everyone away. I closed everyone off. I closed myself off to everyone else. And so I just love that line, because it's really, for me, it's like the night and day difference between being in my addiction and being in recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb. Okay, I'm going to take a list of those who'd like to share, another list, but I just want to remind you that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'm ready to take some names. Let's go.
Kim O.
For Francesca M.
Aaliyah S.
Susan G.
Okay, I've got Kim O, Francesca, I missed the last initial, Aaliyah F, and Susan G. I can take a couple more. Okay, let's go ahead with that then. And if you could just give me your first and last initial, first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, that would be great. Go ahead, Kim, and unmute. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Kim O from Alabama. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be here this morning. This was a very powerful paragraph, and often why I'm so grateful for this program is right where I am, right what I needed to hear, and for so many reasons. What stood out, as many have said, is the just that picture of together, all together or alone. And the way that I visualize that right now is, you know, regardless of where everyone is, there's this togetherness, and it's hearing in these meetings how we are together, we are not alone, and we are working the recovery to be in out of self-will. To be out of self-will and out of ego and in this together, to be able to be a support for each other, whether it's as a sponsor or a sponsee or a newcomer that helps me every day. And versus the self-will and the isolation and the chaos and the unmanageability of trying to do things on my own, trying to control things on my own, trying... when that is happening, when my ego is speaking so loudly, when my victimhood and poor me is speaking rather than taking action, that's when I'm the sickest. That's when my life is totally unmanageable, and that leads to life or death for me. And I choose life, which is with this group of recovered compulsive overeaters that are choosing to do this one day at a time, 1 minute at a time. And I'm grateful to be a part of it. I'll pass.
Thank you so much for your share, Kim. And next I have Francesca.
Hi there, this is Francesca M. I'm calling from California. Very grateful, recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic. This is my first time sharing on the line, and some of the shares really inspired me. That I used to say, I'm not recovered, so you know, I have nothing to offer the line. But really, it was just ego. It was like, I'm gonna wait until I'm recovered, and be like, I'm recovered, blah blah blah. You know, I get so much from this group. And so to not sort of like give back and to recognize too that I'm no better or worse than anyone. I'm not a bad person getting good. I'm a sick person that I can get better, you know, with the transformation of this of my higher power that you fellows lead me to, so that someone who is still where I am, or day one or one day before me, has something to offer. I mean, we all do. It's crazy to think that I don't, because it's just like this isolation piece. And I'm reminded of that. Before recovery, I felt I could be in a room full of people. I lived in New York City, and I was a bartender, and I was always around people till like from morning to night. And I felt so alone. And now, like, you know, I can be alone with my higher power, and you know, and recognize that if I'm feeling alone, that that's a choice. And I love, I was reading the 12 and 12, and at the end of step 8, it says, it's the beginning of the end of isolation from our fellows and God. And so, like, the beginning and the end. And I love in this paragraph how it's, like, the fearsome and exciting. Because it's, like, if I'm in fear, like, that's a gift, you know, from God. Like, it's like rumble strips on the side of a highway. Like, you're getting off. Like, wake up, get back on. And it can be turned into excitement, and fear and excitement are experienced in the same way. So I just love that this, like, it's also like, would happen? And it's like, if I'm in isolation, I'll never find out. And that's where my disease wants me. But if I am willing to, like, find out, and, you know, community is also what offers me an opportunity for humility. Because I heard someone say on this line once, actually, the quickest way to humility is humiliation. So yeah, being with people. So thank you everyone so much for all the service you offer. I get so much out of it. And for anyone who's new, I did it my way for 2 years, and you know, that did not work out so well for me. But I have a sponsor going through the steps the big book way that y'all taught me. Or that the book taught me, because no idolatry. Anyways, and a food plan, and today's 50 days, which I didn't even remember until I, that's my time. So I'm going to stop talking now. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much for sharing, Francesca. And next up, I have Aaliyah F., I believe.
Good morning. This is Aaliyah S., recovered in California. Thank you all for your service. I felt a nudge and two-way prayer to share on the line this morning. I'm not really sure why, but I listened to the earlier recording, and as I did, I realized when I was reading the paragraph, and this is a humbling experience, that I didn't really know what the word erstwhile meant. And there's even a local AA group. A friend of mine started a meeting called Erstwhile Radic Alcoholics, and it's just funny the things that I think I know. And I didn't know that it meant former. So these former unpredictable alcoholics, could they successfully meet and work together? And I was just thinking about this paragraph and how it relates to my life, and the words frightening, disrupting experience, fearsome, which I didn't know meant frightening either, and this exciting adolescent period, the process of developing and coming to maturity. And it just reminds me of the things that I don't know, and how the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and emerges a butterfly. But in that, you know, in that melting of the self-will and for me and my unmanageable home life, yes, I'm recovered. Yes, I've been granted the gift of freedom from food obsession. But what about the freedom from self-will? You know, what about these glaring character defects or these impediments I won't let go of? Like, my, honestly, I feel like a fraud, you know, like a recovered woman shouldn't be behaving this way, or her house shouldn't be this messy, or her home life shouldn't be this unmanageable, or should, you know how to parent better. Like, I shouldn't feel this desperate at 5 months of amazing abstinence, you know, from the food, thank God, but why is my life still so unmanageable? And I had just to have, you know, a cry session with God this morning, and God, you know, told me to get on the line this morning, be honest, you know, that I don't have to die separately, that I need to hang together, and I can tell the truth. You know, I can tell you that I'm struggling, that life is really hard with my children, being a single mom. And, you know, the other thing I got from this paragraph is that, like, this is a part of the journey. Like, I can't figure it out, but God has all power and knowledge, And my job is to show God that I'm willing by taking a humbling action, and God will show up with the power. And as I was listening, oops, there's my timer. As I was listening to a former share, you know, they talked about the traditions, and I was like, what if I practiced the traditions in my home life? And that was a new thought. So I'm grateful for new thoughts today, and that I'll pass.
Thank you, Aaliyah. And then I've got Susan G, and I think I will be able to take two more names after that. So let's go ahead, Susan, unmute, please.
Good morning, Susan G, calling in from Los Angeles, California. Thank you, everyone who's being of service on the lines this morning. I love these chapters because they tell us right from the beginning, they're going to tell us precisely how they have recovered and that they had bumps in the road. And what I couldn't help but think about this morning was how we all entered a fearsome, not exciting period just over 2 years ago, and how we unified and got together, how we got on Zoom, where I've heard people saying, oh my gosh, that's you who I hear on the lines. I've never seen your face before. And I have seen a unity in OA that I haven't seen in many, many years of being here, you know, and I fought hard for close to 20 years to not be a part of this fellowship of individuals who today I'm proud to have a seat at the table, in the room, wherever it is. Doesn't have to be in the front row. And the mushrooming process that was talked about yesterday, you know, has really, really been in full swing. We have meetings going on all day opposite each other with over 200 people in it. We chose to hang together and not die alone or sit in fear and, you know, just morbid reflection of what was going on. So I just really wanted to say hooray to OA in that regard. I mean, I was very fortunate that my sponsor of 10 years was the special worker in the office here, and I really got to see the value of being of service and to see what goes on behind the scenes instead of sitting there with my arms folded thinking what I would do better. So if you have ideas of what you want to do better, join us. Be a part of your local fellowship, become a delegate, local intergroup, all of those things to continue to unify our fellowship. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan. Okay, let's take, I think I have time for two or three more names. So I'm ready when you are. Who else would like to share?
Abalonia A.
Alexis F.
Karen K. Alexis F. and Karen K. And we'll stop there. Great. I've got Abalonia A, Alexis F., and Karen K. Go ahead, Abalonia. Thank you so much.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
I am so grateful for this program. I missed the reading because I got on late, so I'm just going to share. But I today feel so excited about life, and I just, like, can't wait to do everything. I'm looking forward to everything. I feel close to God. I feel joyful, and I know these are the promises coming true. I'm looking forward to the promise of intuitively know how to handle decisions that used to baffle us. I still can be kind of indecisive, but I'm looking forward to that promise coming true. But basically, God is so good, and this program is amazing, and I just love you guys. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Abalonia. And next, I've got Alexis F.
Good morning, everybody. I remember when I was sitting waiting for my daughter to come out of therapy, I was crying, and my our therapist came out and said to me, everyone is born with a different disposition. And my daughter was born with a bright and sunny disposition. And it got dimmed as her childhood continued. I was born with a more shy disposition, and it was more difficult for me to continue in the outside world. I was bugger in the playground, though, so a big difference between the two, and that's how I've lived my life, with problems with my mental and emotional health that varied between being, you know, the one who was running around the fastest in the playground or the one who was the shyest in school. And at adolescence, I think that's a time when it's your warring between becoming an adult and you're becoming, you know, and you're wanting to stay like a child. But in maturity, you make decisions. I make decisions. And sometimes I can right now and sometimes I can't. I can decide to be happy and not dwell on things from the past, our past failures, or I can look ahead and say I can make them better as the day goes on, one day at a time. The food can be good, and even when the food's good, if I don't have a good attitude, I'll find something wrong that's going to make me unhappy. So all I can do right now is pray, continue to meditate, continue to turn things over to God, and hope for the best. And this program gives me a lot of hope. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Alexis. And our last share will be Karen Kay.
Hi, this is Karen, and I'm from Arizona, and I am practicing being part of. I have been listening for years, and I had a Vision for You sponsor, but that didn't last but maybe a month because I wasn't abstinent. So I'm a long hauler, but I'm damn determined to become abstinent, and I love listening to Vision for You every morning. And if I don't listen to it live in the morning, I listen to it when I walk. And so, as I say, I'm learning to pick up the 500-pound phone and just be part of it. I'm a loner, although my personality is way out extrovert, and I am with clients during the day. I'm in real estate. But when I come home, I'm the quiet one, and that's what gets me in trouble and lonely because I choose to be home in isolation and not tell people my problems. I have a fantastic sponsor, not in a vision, but a fantastic sponsor that loves me and I feel safe with. And so all of that stuff is coming out. So I just wanted to say hi, everybody, and I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Okay. I have time. Yes, thank you. I have time for one more 2-minute share if I've got someone that would like to share for just 2 minutes. Star one to unmute if I've got another eager person.
Hi, I'm John.
I'm sorry, I missed your name.
My name is John.
Oh, John. Okay, awesome.
I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm new to OA, and I just wanted to share that I needed to share and reach out because I have, too, been listening for the last couple months, and I have an OA sponsor, and I'm submitting a food journal every day, and I recently I suffer from eating at night because I have sleep apnea, and it's a pattern that I've been trying to break. And I've recently, from it, experienced health issues, and God's got a way of showing me pain to stop doing things in my life. And I've got to the point now where I have the willingness to do whatever it takes to take care of myself, but it had to get me to a place where I'm at home. I can't work. I injured myself. And I truly believe it's from the eating at night that caused this. And the eating at night was, you know, I have an allergy to flour and sugar. And so I appreciate everybody's sharing and everybody talking about the set aside prayer, because that is very, very key for me to lay aside all prejudice that of God's attributes and all my activities and my experiences. So if there's a male on the call that would like
time,
to give this
John.
Number. All right.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for your shares. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Barbara W. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, good morning. This is Barbara W., recovered compulsive overeater, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.